going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We are mid-draft. Round one is done. Round two tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wes Herr hotline for the first of his, again, two scheduled appearances today. Hi, Sal.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Fantastic.
Wiped out.
Really?
I went till like almost 2 last night.
Right, yeah.
Live stream until 12:30. Sal might have gone later. I don't know. But you're in better shape than I am.
Because I did a video I posted on social in the Bills parking lot at 1:40 a.m. on my way out. And that's when I left the media room. It was 1:40 a.m.
Wow. I feel bad. This doesn't sound like I'm bragging, but I was in bed when they made the pick. And I went, okay, it's a corner. That's great. It's one of the guys. I'm out. I don't need to see what anybody thinks about it. I'll wait until morning on that. I just turned the thing off and turned the lights out.
You were asleep before the draft, the round ended.
Maybe. No, you know what? No, I'm exaggerating. I wanted to see what Philly was going to do because my boy Emin Wurie was still there. So I stayed with it, and then KC, of course. So, yeah, I exaggerate a little. I waited for those two picks to come in. Then I just hit it. I didn't go start. So if I started looking for reaction to the pick, then I would have been up for 2 hours.
The Eagles did the thing again. Just draft the best guy.
Right.
The highest rated guy.
Like the Ravens.
The Ravens. The same thing. Yeah, right.
Starks.
I know. And then, by the way, Jeremy then gave me a choice. Do you want to come on at 7 or 9? Because I know it's late. I'm like, I'm not. It's, you know what? I just do 7, and people want to hear what's going on. So got home about 3 o'clock total. I mean, sorry, about 2:15, in bed by 3. And, yeah, you know, when you're wired like that, you guys know. You've been up doing work and can't sleep. So it's literally like 7 o'clock came early, but whatever. Here we are.
Here we are. So Max Hairston, a name we talked about some, not constantly, in the draft process. How do you feel about this?
So, you know, he was a guy that I felt sure the Bills could wind up taking him. Never felt super comfortable with that because I know the Bills like their corners to be able to be tackle. And that was always the biggest knock on him. So anytime his name would come up, I would say, man, he checks all the boxes except this one. And there's a big one for them.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, historically, like that's something they really care about. So, as much as I love the ball skills, the speed, oh my God, you'd love to add a guy like that. Again, try to put myself in the position of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and what they do. It was never really a guy that I thought they would take because of that particular one thing. So this tells me they're willing to, you know, forego that particular part of it for now, but understand that, you know, it can get better. And listening to Brandon Bean, it makes sense. He said it's not for lack of effort. He's a little bit smaller. He'll get bigger in our weight room. Sometimes he just gets big boyed out there. And I understand now and why. I love the ball skills. I love the speed. All of those things are great. Scheme fit, zone, man-to-man, everything else. I just didn't put him on the Bills ever in anything that I did because I thought that would force them to shy away from him.
Yeah, we opened up today, Sal, and the first thing I had to say about him is that, I mean, the speed is obviously the calling card here, along with all that other stuff that's important to playing corner. But, yeah, the tackling, it feels like the Bills, I don't know, evolving. I just think it's good to see them not stick to the same things. Like, they have not, they've had a lot of success, so they could stand on their resume and say, doing it the way we do it and believing what we believe and picking the kind of players that we've been picking has gotten us this far, and we'll just keep knocking on the door. Eventually it will open. Or you can try to do something a little bit different. And I feel like that's what this player represents. And yeah, like you, I mostly saw him mocked earlier than the Bills. Like I've said a few times, when I saw Trey Amos in mock drafts, it was almost always the Bills. This player was very rarely, I saw his name to the Bills a couple times, but mostly it was earlier. And I just thought, well, they're probably just not going to get their hands on this guy, so I didn't spend too much time thinking about him either. But I really like that the Bills, you know, sort of stepped outside themselves a little bit here.
Yeah, I like that. And that part of the reason why I might not have gotten there that quick, they did just sign Tre'Davious White, and they did re-sign Dane Jackson. And I always felt, hey, the floor has been raised there. They can probably, you know, feel good about having a guy there. But eventually, as you guys know, I've said, they're going to draft a guy. It's going to be early, and he's going to have to play. To me, it was always either defensive line or corner. I still believe defensive line is very much in play tonight. I've always felt it's going to be three defensive players out of their first three picks here, provided they stay where they are. But I felt defensive line was a little more pressing. Now, as the board falls, you don't know. And truth be told, when the Bills were on the clock at 30, sure, I think that was a name that came up, Trey Amos for sure. I was thinking maybe they were going to take Azaroku, the Boston College defensive end. I mean, 16.5 sacks, front seven, edge rusher. I was still leaning that way. So I agree with everything you said about maybe having a little bit of a going outside the box of what they normally do. But this is something the Bills have said they wanted to do. Let's remember that.
Right.
Go back to the end of the season press conference. They said they wanted to add speed and playmaking ability, and they've held true to that here.
I guess it goes without saying, but it's cool when you can find out things about a team's plans just sort of naturally, because there's a lot they won't tell you about what their thoughts on certain players were. But in this case, they did have these options with Amos and with Will Johnson and Revell. There were other corners on the board, so we know that they preferred this one to the other three, which makes your first point here especially interesting, because it wasn't like if the other guys had gone, you're drafting for need, you like him well enough.
Last guy, right.
But, yeah. You know, maybe this is kind of a good sign for their confidence in the player because they picked him over other, you know, seemingly comparable candidates.
Yeah, and need is a really interesting word, Mike, because the Bills obviously have needs at, I think, defensive line and at corner, and you could argue a few others. You want to add to wide receiver, that's fine. This is the only spot in the entire team that I think literally has a question mark next to who's going to start.
Right.
Even at defensive tackle, it's Saquon Jones.
Right.
Someone else is going to come in. You're going to draft someone, but literally all 22 spots, you can fill in the starting roster, except who is starting at outside corner. This is the guy that now comes in and competes for the starting outside corner job with Trey White, with Dane Jackson, with Jamarcus Ingram. And the fact is, you get him on a fifth-year option if everything works out. Let's just say it does. I don't know. And you just signed Christian Benford, and now it's 5 years remaining on his contract. You could pair them two together conceivably for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of 2022, where, you know, that was the case. White was injured, and there just wasn't a lot else there, and the way that happened, and you know, they ended up trading up for Elam because, like Mike just said, like that was maybe the last guy left. And in this case, it's pretty much the opposite of that. I mean, it doesn't have to mean, you know, it doesn't have to mean anything in the big scheme of things that it's gonna work out because of that, but at least they weren't left, I guess, I don't know, scrambling might be too strong, but you know, they got the last guy 3 years ago. And in this case, they didn't have to wait like that. They were able to get, you know, they get the pick of that group of guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think that they still have to concentrate on defense coming into night number two as we talk about this and, you know, where they look. But I agree with all that. You know, they had a guy that they liked. They had a guy that they felt good about bringing in. It wasn't – in fact, Brandon Bean said they had opportunities to trade down. Like, teams called. Now, granted, he could say that to make it, you know, sound better, but No, I believe it because we had Philadelphia trade one spot up, by the way, with the next pick. And then, you know, you have teams that you had rumors about already, reports today that they were trying to trade back into the first round that didn't happen. So he said, look, we felt good about who was there, and they took their guy.
I thought as the draft was playing out, Sal, the possibility of a Bills trade kind of, if they wanted one, was pretty much scuttled by Grant and Nolan and the Steelers pick all going early enough where there wasn't going to be that opportunity to move up, say, a five spots or whatever to get to one of those players if that's what they wanted to do. And on the other side of it, it was the Giants we were always talking about as a team that could trade up with the Bills. They know each other and everything else. But the Giants got that done earlier. So, you know, sure, I would believe that there were chances to trade down, and I probably would have wanted them to take one of those because of the different selections they had at cornerback. But otherwise, it might have been a night where they were planning on doing something like that, moving up even, but it just wasn't available. It wasn't necessary.
Right, two things that weren't available. A, like you said, I think maybe moving up for a guy like that. B, the defensive tackles came off the board, and I don't know if they would have actually taken a defensive tackle. You guys know I mocked one. Mm-hmm. I actually felt, it's kind of funny, it made me feel good last night, because when I mocked Tyreek Williams of the Bills, I felt I might have him a little high. I just think he fits them, and they would be comfortable with that. Well, I guess I didn't, because he went before the Bills pick, right? And, you know, that gave me a comfort knowing, okay, that's a player that maybe could have been a guy for the Bills. And Kenneth Grant went very high, obviously. Derek Harmon flipped a little bit because of the shoulder concern, but he winds up going early. And then you think, well, do you really get value there? So who knows? Did they actually like one of those guys, have him rated higher than what they had Max Harrison? Not really sure. But at the end of the day, I think it just came down to, we're going to help our defense. We have this bucket of players. Max Harrison is right there. These other guys are gone. Let's go get them.
Did you see Williams said, reportedly, that the Bills told him they would have taken him at 30?
I did not see that.
So,
okay.
I mean, would they say, that could be a couple things. It could be accurate. It could be that they kind of said they would like to, or, you know, he'd be in consideration. So there's that too. Or the Bills maybe teams tell a few players that kind of thing, whatever the wording is. But this quote is, well, it's not a quote, but it's a report that Williams said the Bills told him they would take him if he was there at 30. And, you know, he wasn't. So feather in your cap. That was your mock
draft. That was your guy.
Player.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I wonder how many people, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Sal, maybe you have a guess or an opinion about it. Like, I wonder, because we had a little bit of this with Xavier Worthy after the playoff game, right? He said, like, the Bills told me they liked me and they were going to take me, and I'm not positive who that was attributed to, but I feel like he said that was Joe Brady that maybe told him that. I just wonder, like, the Bills, there's a lot of people that could be the Bills, right? They could be a scout that meets with him. That could be, like, any number of people that you would run into on a visit like that, that it's not like official, you know, it's obviously not binding. It's a fluid thing, a draft. So who knows what's going to happen? I just wonder how many people leave meeting with the Bills thinking, like, hey, I think they're going to take me.
Yeah, I wonder too. And, you know, I think you want to kind of cover all your bases. Obviously, you want to make people feel good as well. And you never know. I think there's also some gamesmanship around the league, not just the Bills, where you say that to a guy, it starts to leak out, and that's how you get connected to a player, right?
Right.
Like, they told five guys this, all of a sudden, there's these, you know, mock drafts saying Malachi Starks going to the Bills. Maybe somebody said to Malachi Starks, hey, we really like you. You know, if you get to 30, we might take you. And all of a sudden, that's how those things wind up going out there. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that could happen. I also wouldn't doubt that the Bills might want to take him, guys. That's why I had him there, because I didn't think that, like, he really would fit.
Let's talk about tonight now. So, as I said earlier, naturally, given what this draft kind of shaped up to be like, there are several players still available that were talked about as first-round picks. Some of them are cornerbacks, and that's probably off the list now for the Bills, but edge rushers, defensive tackles, receivers, there are a few. They don't pick until 56, and then they have 62. So, the 24th pick tonight is what the Bills are sitting on. What are maybe a couple of your educated guesses? Like, what do you think they might have in mind?
So both your guys are still there, Luther Burden and Nick Emmanuori. Right? Yep. I mean, those are still on the board. I did a Twitter poll today. I asked fans if they think the Bills, out of these picks, would they stay with both where they are? Would they trade both? Would they stay with 56 and trade 62 or vice versa? Most fans said that they would stay at both these picks. I just think given the track record of Brandon Bean, given the fact that he has no third-round pick, I wouldn't doubt if he starts moving around the board a little bit. So we'll see how it goes. As far as players are concerned, I'm just going to be consistent and say what I've said since the offseason pretty much started, guys, which is I think they're going to concentrate on defense, and I think they're looking at defensive line early on with these picks. That said, this is different than the first round. If they get to pick 56 and Nick Emmanuel's there and they feel like they can really use him, now it doesn't have to become a starter. Now you're talking about a Cole Bishop kind of player where he doesn't have to play right away year one. You fit him in after you play special teams. You see what he does. Second round's different, especially picking in the 50s, than it is in the first round. I wouldn't be stunned by something like that. I would be much more surprised if they went wide receiver this early. I just don't see it happening. I don't think the Bills have an appetite for that in this draft right now. I think that's something that happens day three. I still think safety happens day three. But I wouldn't be stunned if it's a guy they really like. The kid from Notre Dame.
Xavier Watts. Yeah.
Xavier Watts, thank you. I mean, you know, now's a time where you don't have to have the pressure to put him on the field. Fans might think that, again, going back to Bishop last year and fans thinking that. But I don't think that you have to have that if you're the Buffalo Bills now. You're kind of covered on your bases with your starting 22. Now it's about who can play for us this year, though. Who can have a role for us this year? I think they look defensive line. If Azarakou is there, I mean, that's a guy. Darius Alexander, I mean, that's a guy you could look at. T.J. Sanders, Landon Jackson. There's some names out there on the front seven.
You never know how any one team is going to rank these players, but Azarakou, Mike Green, and even Nick Skirton, three edge rushers that were often or even commonly first-round mock draft players. I wonder if the Bills would, it doesn't have to be the Bills. If a team thought there was sort of an amazing value there in one of those guys, I'm sure there are teams that do. I think I'd like to be at the top of this.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Second round right now as a team that didn't have this urgency, because I bet I could make a pretty good trade.
Right. I think, you know, with Mike Green, he has some serious allegations against him. And I think that's a big reason why he has dropped down to where he is. It would take a team being very, very comfortable with that. And of course, we're just a few years removed from Matt Araiza's situation, guys. Right. So, I mean, for the Bills, I think that's even extra comfortable on top of being very, very comfortable, like a lot of teams would have to be. That being said, sitting at the top of the second round here are the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have a chance here to do something people thought they might do in the top five, and that's Shedeur Sanders, right? So we'll see if that starts kicking things off, because he has not been taken yet, and that could really alter, you know, how this draft starts to fall. But you're right, Mike. There's some value there. And I think if you're at the top of this draft and top of this round, you can kind of start really making some calls and seeing what teams feel about some of these guys that have some value.
The rankings that I have been looking at for months here from CBS Sports had Green as the second rated edge rusher and the 11th rated player in the draft. Yeah. I mean, so that is stark. That can't happen. It's not like unprecedented that there'd be a guy that. But wow, I mean, the teams must really feel nervous about him for that to have happened, I think.
Yeah, and listen, for a very, very different reason, this is Will Johnson, right? I mean, the Bills took Max Harrison with Will Johnson still on the board.
Right.
Lots of teams took lots of players with Will Johnson still on the board. I bet you those same rankings, Bulldogs will have Will Johnson as maybe the top-ranked corner.
He was, yes.
Yep, and a top 15 prospect. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a guy that has a knee injury, a hamstring. I mean, his own coach, when Jim Harbaugh passed on him, his own coach that brought him to college at Michigan, when Jim Harbaugh passed on him, I think that was a real clear sign that, okay, you know, and I know that they wanted the running back, Hampton, who they got, but that really kind of told you a story about Will Johnson. But this could be really good value, again. Now a team can say, we'll draft Will Johnson in the second round. We'll give him a redshirt year or a redshirt half a year if we have to, because we're getting great value once he's healthy.
Yeah, top-ranked corner, 17th player overall, by the way.
Apart from Hunter, right?
Right, apart from Hunter, correct.
Sal, yep. Adam Schefter last hour was talking about Shedeur Sanders as if he doesn't get picked at 83 by Pittsburgh, he could go anywhere. He's talking like he doesn't think he'll go in the second round now.
Wow. I mean, that's just wild, right? I mean, this isn't the NBA, but I was thinking about, what about an NBA type thing where a team that has no use for a quarterback just drafts him to trade him, right? But this doesn't work like that in the NFL. You don't see teams doing that. So I could see it, but man, there's got to be a team that says, okay, the value has to match here at some point. Yeah, if you're the Steelers, look, they took Derek Harmon. I love Derek Harmon. You guys know that. He does have the shoulder injury. He just screams Pittsburgh Steeler, right? He's like kind of the ultimate Steelers type of player, and it totally is going to fit with him in Pittsburgh. But if you're the Steelers, don't you maybe have to think about, or do we think that they might know something about Aaron Rodgers to be sitting here, and if they don't take a quarterback soon, that they have to have that plan?
Yes. They also don't have a second-round pick, so they can't use that as a backup plan. Well, Derek Harmon, enjoy your 31-13 wild card loss this year, buddy.
Right.
Right, with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback.
Enjoy maybe. That. It is the playoffs. You will beat, you know, the Browns twice. I like Milrow for the Browns, Sal. Well,
yeah, yeah. I was going to talk about quarterbacks, Mike. I mean, I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, Jackson Dart went ahead of Shedeur Sanders, yep. Right? Who's the kid from Louisville? I always Shug. Get his name wrong. Shug, thank you for saying it the correct way for me. I was just listening to Matt Miller on ESPN saying he thinks he could be the next quarterback off the board. Like, I mean, like, yeah. this is weird territory now for Shedeur Sanders, right? He's such a polarizing type of player. And look, I know that I talked to people at the owners' meetings who confirmed and said to me, I talked to high-ranking NFL people in teams who said to me, you have to think about Dion coming with him. But it doesn't have to be a deal breaker. You just have to be comfortable with it, right? Now, you could have a team that is uncomfortable with that, but I think at this point, it's beyond that. I think it's just about the player at this point.
Yeah.
Ross Tucker chimed in on it, and he made the point that, you know, if I can use the word, or he can use the word, distraction, if the player is seen as a potential distraction, it's one thing if he's a starter and he's great, and, you know, you put up with maybe certain attitude. Can I use Cam Newton maybe? Would that be fair? Like somebody that, this guy's an MVP player. He's got eccentricities, but okay.
Right.
But if it's a backup, I mean, Ross's point is you especially don't want to have to deal with that for a backup. And, you know, it's not even necessarily much the player's fault. It's just he's such a big name. And if Deion Sanders is, you know, kind of in the news all the time about it, then your coach is being asked about it all the time. The starter has a bad game. Maybe the starter's not perfect, which is why you drafted him. And just like, it can be a lot. It can be a lot.
How about this, Mike? If he goes, I think it has to almost be a team, too, where the coach is on firm footing. Because if he goes to Cleveland and they start stinking up, people are going to want Deion of the Cleveland Browns.
Right, be the head coach.
If he goes to New Orleans, they're not firing Kellen Moore probably after a year. That's a little different. I don't think it's happening with Tomlin, although the fans might want it. Like, I don't think that's happening. That's why I also thought about Joe Shane for this and Brian Daboll, which is if they take him, and they did take Dart, and I think they like Dart more, but I think that's an element for them, which is if they take Shedeur Sanders and they start having a bad year, all of a sudden the New York media, Deion Sanders is sitting there, and they're going, let's get rid of Brian Daboll and hire, you know, Deion Sanders.
It's almost like you bring in a former coach. Not that Deion's ever coached in the NFL, so it's not a perfect analogy here. But you're bringing in some, a GM to be a consultant, and the GM is already on the hot seat. Like, oh, okay, here it comes. You know, you got a guy in waiting, and that's how it would feel. I think maybe with a coaching staff or a GM, like you're saying, the Giants, who, you know, might be at kind of the end of the line if they don't get it together quickly, and you'd almost have a guy in the wings sort of waiting to take over. That's how it would be perceived anyway. I don't know how accurate it would have to be.
Well, the Rams are a good idea because their coach is stable and he doesn't have to play. Maybe they can handle it. I kind of like that idea. Sammy P said the same thing earlier. I'm looking at a mock draft that also has Sanders to the Rams at 46. We will see.
I read before I left to come down to the stadium, I didn't hear this, but I read that Schefter mentioned the Cardinals as a surprise team that could like Shedeur Sanders.
Yes. He said if it's not Pittsburgh in the third round, it could be anybody. Miami, could be anybody.
All right.
All right, Sal, go get your seat.
I'm going to grab my seat now, and then we're going to have Max Harrison coming up at about 5 p.m., guys, and then round two starts at 7 p.m.
All right, we'll listen to hear when he's ready to go. Thanks, Al.
You got it.
That Miami idea would be sort of like the Giants. Like McDaniel might be at the end of the line here if they don't have a good year. So that, man, that I wonder how he'd feel about that. Like, what are we doing here? we're drafting who? What? I was done.
Well, I want to know what is there anything more you want to say about Sal's appearance?
Oh, you're waiting for me to do that. See, sorry, I was busy trying to provide entertaining and informative content.
Well, make it about Sal's appearance. How do you think he did?
Sal was great. And the people at New York's Only Outlet Liquor have to be thrilled. New York's Only Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Imagine, everybody, if he said the opposite. How do you think Sal did? Hated every word. Couldn't agree less.
Brought to you by New York's Only Outlet
with
Liquor.
Everything he said. All right. Max Harrison press conference coming up. And we'll talk to Sal again late as we get close to the start of round two. We'll look for trades and whatever kind of speculation is out there. Give us a call, 803-0550. What do you think of this pick? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
We don't have to be apologetic for Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted. 32 teams didn't draft him. They got six more rounds left in this draft and the opportunity for him to go pro. Sometimes we have an affinity for these kids. Like Dan does breakdowns. Dominique, we've all been doing drafts for a long time. We want to see them live their dreams. We want to see them drafted where they want to be drafted. But that's not always the case. I wanted Lamar Jackson to be a top five pick. He ended up going 32nd. I love what Dan said. We are not in mourning. It happens every single year where somebody doesn't get drafted where people think they're going to get drafted.
Marcus Spears, you've said about how you love the draft for the moments, the celebrations, the culmination of the hard work, all the years, and here's the moment. And that obviously comes across with each pick in the first round. You see the joy and maybe some relief. But there also is this every year, you know, players who it's tough to watch sometimes. Sanders, I wouldn't say for me he was tough to watch exactly because there were a lot of people around him and he was not supposed to go in the top five. Again, objectively, the betting markets are your guide. And while at the beginning of the draft process he was talked about, even like on a tier with Ward or above, that changed. So it was not surprising, I would say, that he wasn't picked last night. Now, tonight could be another thing if, like Adam Schefter said, it could be into the third round, and then who knows? And that obviously significantly affects the player's chances of succeeding. You don't have the same level of investment from the team as you would with a first-round pick where the guy would get every chance. So, Sanders, what I was thinking about him last night, which is kind of adjacent to what you were saying, watching on ESPN, I was watching NFL Network, but I was in and out of it because I was on the ship chasing stream and I was watching that and sometimes listening and paying more attention to that. It felt like every time I looked at NFL Network, they were at the Shedeur Sanders party. It almost seemed like the draft was at that party.
Yeah.
Which it, you know, it wasn't, but
yeah,
there was a lot of coverage on him.
ESPN showed a fair amount of that party, but mostly, like, you can be uncomfortable watching a guy if they're, you know they're dropping and it's got to be heartbreaking and the family is there and maybe the mom is holding the son's hand or the girlfriend or whatever. Just like you can tell it's tense, right? Most of the time, ESPN cut, it was just it was an empty room. Like a staged part of the, and I was like, okay, he's not even in there. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not Thurman Thomas sleeping on the couch in 1988. Like, he's not even there. The whole thing was odd to an extent. I mean, he's a popular and famous name and is a quarterback to boot. So, you know, I got no beef with ESPN or any network focusing on him. Really, you know, what I was saying to start today, just the launch of the actual draft, like when Roger Goodell rides all the former Packers, they all ride bicycles out there. He says the 2025 draft is open. Tennessee is on the clock. They go to the desk, and there's your crew, right? It's Louis Riddick and Greenberg and Booger McFarland and Mel Kiper. And it just is, okay, Tennessee, they're going to pick Cam Ward. He's a, what, minus 2,000 or something?
20,000.
Right. It's like they're picking Cam Ward. And it's all just Sanders and Mel, and he's like yelling at you about how good Sanders is and my reputation and all these other guys that I've been right about and all this stuff. And it's like, this could be at like 10:30 when he hasn't been picked yet. Why are we doing this right now? Cam Ward, this is Cam Ward's moment. It just was awkward, I thought. And it made me feel, that made me feel uncomfortable for Cam Ward and for, I don't know, everyone else watching. Like, what, it just seemed inappropriate the way they handled that last night to me.
I will never remember any of that, but the Hunter trade is legendary at pick two. And you did have a report from Jay Glazer that that was going to happen before the draft started. I don't know what it sounded like. I was at the event for Carlin Hartman on Grand Island, his Hall of Fame induction there. So I couldn't hear anything, but I'm on Twitter and there's the Glazer thing and it's not even eight yet. Mm-hmm. And like I saw Schefter talking was ESPN talking about the Hunter trade before the first pick? Or is it just about Sanders?
They didn't really start talking about Sanders that I saw. I wasn't glued to it before it started. I was watching hockey right up until like 5 to 8 or so. So I didn't get there until really, that's why it stood out to me that like my point of entry on the draft coverage was we're on the clock and it was all about the guy that's not going to end up getting picked at all day. So I don't know what went on before. So I'm not sure when Schefter said anything about the trade.
But right after Ward, that was announced.
Yeah.
Like there was no delay. And he's on the screen and there's the trade, you know, logo on whatever. So that was done. And that's incredible. Jacksonville, we were talking about them this week. Like they're doing a lot of work trying to keep people guessing. And I don't know, maybe it was all legit. There was a report yesterday that that might happen early in the day. And we acknowledged it. But still. How about the Browns in that? I mean, that's really bold to trade away from that player. Would you have done it? I would have taken a lot of courage to trade him. The numbers people all heavily, I shouldn't say all, but mostly at least, heavily favor the Browns in the trade. The fact that he's not a quarterback, Kevin Cole, for one. The fact that Hunter is not a quarterback, you know, what they got for a player that can even pull off what he's hoping to pull off, playing at an elite level on both offense and defense. You make that trade every time. Now, maybe I saw Monson say, like, doesn't the fact that he is potentially two players change that? And a response that he got was, I think maybe from Brian Burke, who's in the analytics world, is that is the problem with trading up. That is the overconfidence in knowing that my guy is going to be all that is how you get into trouble. And there are countless examples of that. The question is, does Hunter count as an exception? Should there be an exception to that? I mean, I've kind of said for years that there shouldn't be an exception to that rule. Just, you know, swallow hard and accept that you don't know what you think you know here.
Well, the two-player thing, I've struggled with that all along. I mean, if people have been paying attention, the idea of him playing like he did in college anyway. You know, I was, again, ESPN Louis Riddick at one point is talking about how, you know, if he were to play full-time in the NFL, it's going to be fewer plays than he was playing in college. Because college, there's just more plays in college games. And so he's been playing like 120 or 140 snaps a game if he's playing full-time on both sides of the ball. And then it'll be that much when you get to the NFL. And so, you know, it from a stamina standpoint, you could probably do it. I just think at some point you're going to, I don't know how early, I just would not settle for, because that was a lot of ESPN was, they got 2-for-1 here. And I don't, maybe it's 1.5 for one, I would say. You know, I think he certainly, they should try to use him on both sides of the ball. But I think you're going to have to focus on one at least to start to get him up and running as like a wide receiver to run with Brian Thomas and make that work. And then this is my preference. Like if I'm running the Jaguars, and this my read of it is this, because you know Liam Cohen's the new head coach there, and the hotness of the idea for Jacksonville is pairing him with Brian Thomas Jr. and Trevor Lawrence and this new scheming play caller. So I need you to play receiver for me. And then I've said this a few times, like, sprinkle him in on defense, you know, like depending on how the series on offense has gone. So I'd be stunned if ever, even this year, we're talking about a guy who is playing 80% of the snaps on both sides of the ball. I think that's nuts. I mean, even Deion never played that much on both sides of the ball. It was defense primarily and kick returning and then the odd offensive series here or there. I think this will be the opposite of that is what I would guess sitting here now. So there is value added. It is not just a great receiver. It is someone who should be able to help you situationally on the other side of the ball. I just don't think it's two for one. You did not get a starting wide receiver and starting cornerback, I don't think, by making that trade.
Well, it was always not set up great for the Browns to draft their starting quarterback this year. It was probably going to have to be next year. You could get lucky with a Milroe or a Sanders, and maybe that'll still happen. But this trade gives them a huge advantage toward that. I mean, what? Imagine a world where maybe Jacksonville isn't really good. So there's the first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Your own, you'll be bad probably. And then that pick, too, that's great. You have the second-round pick tonight as well. That was early, so the Browns have two of the first four picks tonight, I believe. So that's good. I think it's great for Cleveland. It's stunning, and it couldn't have been easy to decide to do it. I just kind of wish this is how I felt about the Bills last year and when they traded down. I just wish they would have done one more thing. When they got to 33 and eventually picked Coleman, just you have all day, and there have to be teams calling you about moving up because they've had all night to ponder this one guy they loved is sitting on the board. The Bills didn't take advantage of that. That's my opinion, at least. And the Browns at 5. Nobody was game for Genty at 5. That was the speculation all day, was Chicago was going to go to 5 and get Genty. And Jacksonville was going to go to 10. So there was no chance for the Browns to make the next move. And I don't think that would have been a first. Maybe 10 to 5, maybe a next year's first for that. I mean, that's a wild trade to make for a running back.
But yeah.
I mean, the betting markets reflected that was expected, that Genty would get to the Bears somehow, and they were picking 10th. The Raiders were also getting mocked to a lineman, Banks. Or Membo, one of the two linemen there, and less so often Genty. But anyway, the Browns do all that, and it's amazing in different ways, end up with a defensive tackle.
Yeah, from a fan standpoint, that might have been tough to... I'm imagining how we'd be reacting with the wide receiver train and all this if somehow the Bills had come to the second overall pick. And they go, yeah, we're going to get... And it's Travis Hunter. And we're going to get out of here, and we're going to draft a 310-pound dude.
Needs.
We go, what? What are you doing to us? You're right. Cleveland has pick one tonight and pick four. Houston and Tennessee in between.
And Houston got that from the Giants.
Right.
There was also an incredible Rams-Falcons trade.
Yeah, the Falcons trade was amazing. I could not believe that included a first for next year. That was mind-boggling.
Maybe the Bills wouldn't have done it, but if they had had a chance at that, the Rams just say no or something, and they had a chance at that. Wow. What a gift. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We expect the Bills' first-round pick, Maxwell Hairston, to speak down at the stadium around 5. We're hoping to carry it live. We're planning to. And, of course, day 2 of the NFL draft tonight, getting going at 7 with that first Browns pick. Back after this here on WGR. Rod the Mod. I'm still stunned.
You've lived a nice life so far, having that wrong the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I was never, into Rod Stewart. Rod the Bod. I always thought it was Rod the Bod. I must have heard it once and like, all right, I guess he's probably, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a rock star.
He's a rock star.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, Rod the Mod.
Rod the Mod. Yeah. I got to remember next time I have some impulse to say something about him that we have to correct that. I might just forget this whole thing and still say Rod the Bod.
I hope not.
I hope not too. That shouldn't happen. He has 8 kids. You know that?
Rod Stewart?
Rod Stewart has 8 kids.
I have no trouble believing that. He is also an insane model train enthusiast.
Okay.
Do you know that?
No. Nope.
He has one of the largest layouts in existence.
Must.
That he has built. And he did all of the work, like building the scenery, the houses, the little people, like all the stuff. He did all of it. The only thing he did not do was the wiring, like the electrics of it. But he's got this massive, I don't know how big, square footage-wise, I can't tell. But it is humongous.
Nice.
Yeah.
He is a sir. Sir Roderick David Stewart.
Yeah.
Right. He hasn't died. The Bills once drafted a player from Kentucky named Rod Stewart. Different.
Right. And when you said Rod the Bot, I thought you knew this Rod Stewart as Rod the Bot.
No.
Like that was his the football player's nickname. I had no idea. And then I realized, no, you think Rod Stewart. No, it's Rod the Mod.
The Bills have drafted 9 players from Kentucky. Will Grant, their center in some of the Ferguson years, was a Kentucky player. Product? I'll say product. I don't know if he graduated. Product. Art Still, who was a Bill. He wasn't drafted by the Bills. He was drafted by the Chiefs, I think. Second overall, later would play for Buffalo, went to Kentucky in the Earl Campbell draft. And last night was the first time Tennessee/Houston had picked one overall since they picked Campbell.
Wow.
In 1978. Max Hairston press conference coming up here on WGR.